Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Good. I'm a sweaty, hot mess, so there's that. Just came in from outside, but we're having a lot of fun out there. I'm excited for you guys and your kiddos to get to experience all the fun that we have out there with the slides and the cooking and all the pelicans and all that stuff, so it's a lot of fun. But summer is here, and it's hot. It's real hot. But we're having fun through it all. Hey, before we dive into our series today, I wanted to tell you about something we got cool that'll be going on for the month of June and July. We're going to be doing an Echo Ministry shoe and clothing drive. And so really quick, let me tell you about that. If you don't know, we partner with a local foster care ministry that provides for tangible needs for children in care. And we are looking to get them some new or gently used shoes or clothing items for birth all the way up to 18 years of age. And so what you'll be able to do is between now and the end of July, you can bring in new or gently used shoes or clothing. You can put the clothing in the lockers out front. You'll see that they're labeled for the different age groups. And then there's a big old round black drum that you can put the shoes in as well. Now, let's say maybe you don't have kids or you don't have clothes that you could donate that are gently used. Echo just started partnering with another ministry that is able to provide them with new clothing for a very, very low cost. And so like, if you want to give to the ministry to help provide clothing, there is a little bit of a layout here on the different units of clothing. So like if you gave $50, you could purchase 45 units of clothing for toddlers, 75 units for infant clothing, and then $60 for 15 units of shoes. And so if you wanted to give financially, you could go and give financially. When you go to give, you just select the Echo clothing drive. And so that'll be going on all throughout June and July. And so we love our partnership with that ministry. The clothes that we bring in, money that we give, won't just go to Echo of Winter Haven. It'll go to the warehouse and it'll go out to all five locations that they have set up around Polk and Highlands and Hardy County, as well as a new location in Broward County. And so it's a really cool ministry that we get to be a part of. So I just wanted to quickly tell you about that. We're starting that. And I don't know if I said it, but you can bring the clothes on Sunday, or if you come into the coffee house during the week, you can drop it off at that time as well. Okay. Who's ready to go on a summer road trip with me? There's like one person. Yeah, the rest of you are like, are your kids? There's eight of them, right? So are they in a different car or what? How's this going to work out? I get it. He said, how many? You get it. You get the pain of traveling with that many kids. Anyway, you leave real early and try to have them sleep for the longest amount as possible. Yeah, you learn how to do it. All right, we're leaving it midnight, and they're just going to sleep for 8 hours of this thing, hopefully. But we're taking a road trip, and really the series will be discussing like this, the journey that God has us on, the road trips that we take in our lives. And there are many road trips throughout our lives, and there are unknown destinations, and there are winding roads, and there are potholes and emergency stops and getting lost or feeling lost. And we're going to discuss all of that as God brings us to and through just the change and the transition that we're experiencing in our lives. And we do that. There are different seasons. There are different times where we're going through different things. And through many conversations that I've had, through the prayer cards and just talking with people, there is a lot of that going on. A lot of change, a lot of transition, and just a lot of questions, right? And so with this series, we want to help answer like and help you process it and embrace it and really and begin to see what's going on in your life from God's perspective and what he is doing. Now, when you think about, let's say someone asks you to go on a road trip, I think your first question is going to be like, all right, where are we going, right? Because if it's not a fun destination, I'll pass next time if you're going somewhere fun. So we ask, where? And I wonder, have you recently asked God that question? God, where are you? Where are you taking me? God, where am I going? God, when will we get there? I feel like I've been on this one road trip for a long time, and I'm ready to arrive. Where are we going? You know, in the midst of this, you know, sometimes we get lost. We get run off the road. We feel like we have a flat tire in the road trip that he has us on. We took a wrong turn. We feel like we're going in circles. And so we're asking this question, God, where are we going? When will we get there? When will we arrive? And as we begin to look at those questions and ask those questions and seek answers to those questions, I want to look at the story of the road trip that the Israelites took in the wilderness, really what they went through, and kind of to see what God did for them, how God led them, and help us to gain perspective on what we are going through. And I think it is important to ask the question of where. Where are we going? We want to know where, but I think it's more important to understand and find out the need or the desire or the purpose in the going. And I think every road trip starts with that, with a need. Now, we think about maybe a summer road trip or a summer vacation. You know, we get to that moment, school's ending, and we say, okay, we need a break, right? We need a break from work. We need a break from school. We need a break from housework. We need a break from the responsibilities, kind of that daily grind. We want to disconnect. We want to unwind. We want to be refreshed. And as we disconnect from all the responsibilities, we want to have connection with our spouse or with our kids. We want to go on, you know, adventures and seek out fun. And so, you know, this need, this desire, this purpose, there's purpose behind our summer road trips. And we get that. But what about, like, the road trips of our life? The ones we plan, the ones we don't. Because we've been on relational road trips. We've set out on relational road trips where we're desiring community with a group of friends. We're desiring connection with someone else who gets us. Maybe there's the need of intimacy, or maybe it's a need just to laugh with someone, to cry with someone, to encourage or be encouraged by someone, to listen or have someone listen to us. And we have these relational road trips that we go on, and there are many twists and turns and ups and downs. There are financial road trips that we go on. Some we set out to take, right? There's a need to provide for the health, wealth, and well-being of ourselves and of our family, of our loved ones. And in the midst of that, you know, there are house bills and car bills and electric bills, and we're on this financial road trip, and it's a journey. Then we take what I'm calling geographical road trips, where we're having to pick up and go somewhere else. Maybe it's a need to relocate as you seek a job, or maybe your job is sending you somewhere else, like you're just seeking employment. Maybe you're moving and changing where you're at due to loss, and maybe you need to go and be with someone, be with a loved one to help them. Maybe the geographical road trip is just finding somewhere cheaper to live. Maybe it's newer and better opportunities for you. Or maybe you go on a geographical road trip because you need to leave a toxic atmosphere or environment that you've been in for yourself or for your kids. So we have relational road trips and financial road trips and geographical road trips. And then there's the work and the purpose road trips. And maybe in your life, you're wanting to step out and do something new. You need a change of purpose. You need to leave the monotony of what you've been doing to step out of just the comfort and going through the motions. Maybe you have a desire to chase a dream that's always been there, to be your own boss, to have a better livelihood, to pursue a different career. Or maybe your purpose or work road trip is just in an effort to make some more money. But we go on these trips, and whether it's these trips or other trips that we go on in our life, there are, again, many twists and turns, unexpected things, unexpected destinations. There's uncertainty, there's fear, there's worry. But it all starts with a need. I think every road trip starts with a need, with a purpose, with a desire. And as we step out to do this thing, no matter what goes on, no matter the problems that we face, we must not lose perspective on God's purpose and promise in the road trips that we take. And so I want to look at the need, the desire, the purpose behind the Israelites' road trip. And this is it's a long one. It spans quite a few books of the Old Testament, and it's drawn out. But I would encourage you, if you haven't read this story, go and read through Exodus. Go and check out Deuteronomy. And if you really want to get into it, check out Numbers and Leviticus. There's a lot of good information in there. But you'll learn about this journey, the Israelites, from slavery to freedom to the wilderness, and ultimately to the promised land. But it started with a need. So let's check out where this need from. So I'm going to give you three different verses from three different chapters of Exodus. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 and 25. It says, the Israelites, they groaned because of their difficult labor, and they cried out. And their cry for help ascended to God because of the difficult labor. So they're experiencing difficulty. And so God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant, this promise that he had with Abraham. That's going to come into play a little bit later, so remember that. So God saw the Israelites, and he took notice. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. The Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their oppressors, and I know about their suffering, and I have to come down to rescue them. So we see misery, suffering, oppression, a need to be rescued. Exodus 6, verse 5. Furthermore, I've heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are forcing to work as slaves. And here you go again. I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, tell the Israelites, I am Yahweh, and I will deliver you from the forced labor of the Egyptians and free you from slavery to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great acts of judgment. And so we see right away that there's this need. The beginning of the road trip starts with a need for the Israelites to be saved, to be rescued, to be redeemed from slavery, from oppression. And ultimately what the Pharaoh wanted was to wipe out the Israelites. They needed to be saved. Now, we find the need. And I think we still want to know the where. And I think God understands in this that if he's going to save them and bring them out of Egypt, then there needs to be a destination. And so God also shares the where. Exodus 3:8, he says, I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and then bring them from that land to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, if you've read the story, if you've learned about, you know, the Israelites in this journey, we know this as the promised land. This is the land that God promised, not only to the Israelites, but also to Abraham. He promised to bring them into this land, to give them a land of their own, a land where they can continue to be fruitful and to multiply, but more than that, to also be God's people. And so the where becomes the promised land. God says, I'm going to bring you out, and I'm going to take you to the promised land. And it's good, and it's important. We want to know where we're going, but the why, oh man, this overarching purpose of what God is doing is so important, because what he is wanting and desiring is to bring them into covenant relationship with him. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 7, we see the covenant promise, and this is what he says. He says, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. You will know that I am Yahweh, your God, who delivered you from the forced labor of the Egyptians. And that's the covenant, that he will be our God and that we will be his people. And I told you that covenant word is very important. And he talks about the covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we track all the way back to Abraham's road trip. Because if you know the story, Abraham went on a similar journey, right? God came to him and said, hey, I want you to pick up, leave your family, and go to a place that I will show you. Again, he says, I'm gonna give you a land. I'm gonna show you a land. It is a promised land, but I'm not gonna tell you exactly where. So he doesn't get specifics of the where, but he gets the purpose, because the purpose is the covenant. I'm gonna make you a father of the nation of Israel, and your descendants will be as far as the eye can see. You won't be able to count them. They'll be as numerous as the sands on the seashore and the stars in the sky. So this covenant promise of relationship is what God is doing. And so for Abram, for Moses, for the Israelites, they all had similar road trips. Where are we going? God says, to a place that I promised to show you. So a promised land. Why are we going? We're going because I want you to be a holy, set-apart people. I want you to be my people. It's like sometimes where we're going and why we go through what we're going through, it is a mystery to us. But in the middle of it all, we got to remember that God has a purpose. And God has a promise for the road trips that we take. So let's just unpack these really quickly, because it's just three that I want to show you. Three promises, three purposes that God has. We see it first in Moses' life, then in the Israelites, and then for us. So the first thing, we start off, like the Israelites are going on this trip, but
But this trip, it starts first with Moses. And so Moses, you know, when you get to this story, Moses and his family is living in Egypt. And the Pharaoh is noticing that the Israelites are very, very numerous. And if something doesn't happen, they'll take over. And so he issues a decree. He says, okay, he tells the midwives, you need to, if the Israelite women are having a boy, you need to kill the baby boy. And the midwives don't do it because they fear God. And so first, the midwives save Moses. And then Moses is born and his mother saves him from being killed. And then she puts him in a basket and sends him down the Nile. And his mother is saving him. And then right after that, through his sister Miriam and also through Pharaoh's daughter who takes him out of the Nile and adopts him, he is saved. And this is the first thing that we got to understand. This is the first purpose. This is the first promise, is that God saved Moses. But he didn't just save him. God also provided for him. He provided for Moses. And within this adoption into Pharaoh's house, what does he get? He gets care. He gets education. He is taught leadership. He's taught the ways of Pharaoh's house. And I think through this, and I think through the end of the story, and I say God knew what he was doing, because Moses gets to learn about all the inner workings of Pharaoh's household. And one day he's coming back and will understand it and tell the Pharaoh, hey, let my people go. And so there is this provision of education for preparation to later lead. So God saved Moses, God provided for Moses, and then the last one is that God guided Moses. And you'll see this all throughout his life, but specifically right here. So he's adopted, he's brought into Pharaoh's home, he grows up. At some point he realizes, hey, I'm not an Egyptian, I'm actually a Hebrew, and he goes out, he sees his people are being oppressed, and he tries to help, and he ends up murdering an Egyptian. They find out, and he ends up fleeing. And so he's out on his lone, and he's fleeing to the wilderness, and he's trying to figure out life, and God provides for him there, and God guides him there, and God guides him to his wife, to his family, to his father-in-law. He guides him to work and being a shepherd, and again, it's all in preparation and a guidance, and through it all, God continues to guide. And then he shows up in this amazing moment in the burning bush, and he says, hey, all this stuff, the Israelites, they still need us, and I'm sending you. I've guided you. I'm guiding you again. I'll continue to guide you. Go and save my people. And then he continues to guide them every step along the way. So then we get to the Israelite story. The Israelites, we know what? They're under oppression. There's slavery. There's forced labor. They're, you know, they've lost, you know, their young children to Pharaoh. But God shows up in what? He saves the Israelites. And we see the miracle of the 10 plagues. And God saves them from the oppression. But he doesn't just save them. He goes on to provide for them all throughout their story. But as they're leaving, this is really cool. God provides both for the wealth and health of the Israelites. And there's this really neat moment as they're leaving Egypt where God provides for them material possessions. And it's so cool. So in Exodus 12, verse 35, the Israelites acted on Moses' word and asked, as they're leaving, after the plagues have happened, after just complete just decimation of the Egyptians, he says to ask the Egyptians for silver and gold, jewelry, and for clothing. And the Lord gave people such favor in the Egyptians' sight that they gave them what they requested, and in this way, they plundered the Egyptians. I mean, just think about this. Not only is God saved, not only is God rescued, but in one final moment, they say, and you're also going to give them, material possessions to provide them with what they need for as they move forward. And so he provides for this wealth that they need, possessions that they need. But then he goes on to provide health. We know the story. They go into the wilderness, and they're like, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? And he provides manna from heaven, and he provides quail, and he provides water from a rock. And so God is a provider. And so God saved the Israelites, and God provided for the Israelites. And then as we get into the wilderness journey, what's he do? He guides them every step along the way. The coolest thing about this story is that God was with them. If you read this story, God shows up in a cloud by day and fire by night, and he's there in their midst. And not only that, he gives them the law, and he gives them this way to live and to be set apart, and he protects them, and he fights for them. And it's just this amazing thing where we see God guide them every step along the way. And you see this pattern. This pattern of purpose, this pattern of a promise, that God gives salvation, God gives provision, and God gives guidance. And all of that is to remind us and solidify the promise of the covenant relationship that he wants with us, that he will be our God and we will be his people. And that was true for them. That's what he wanted for them. And that's what he wants for us. In the road trips that we take, it is the same purpose. In the relational road trips, in the financial road trips, he wants to save us. He wants to rescue us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to guide us. In the geographical, in the work, in the purpose, same thing. He promises to save and to guide and provide, and he wants that for us. On every road trip we take, the purpose, the promise, it's the same. God's road trip promise to us is to save us, is to provide for us, and is to guide us. And he wants to do that in every road trip that we take in our lives. Now, will we still face problems? Absolutely. Will we feel lost at times? Yes. Will we hit dead ends? Yep. Will we have to make U-turns? Yep. Will we have to backtrack? Uh-huh. Will we make emergency stops along the way? Yes. That's the case. But we can't let those problems, those bumps in the road, no matter how big, no matter how long they last, we can't let those things cause us to forget God's promise and God's purpose for us, what he says to us. When you think about just the road trips that Abraham took. I mean, this journey, if you don't know it and really know it and you haven't read it, it's an amazing thing. But, you know, God made this covenant to Abraham. Abraham would be the father of the nation of Israel. He didn't have any kids. There's no kids. And said, well, how am I going to be the father of a nation? And so there's this promise. And before the promise came to fruition and Isaac is born, there was a 25-year wait. And in the midst of that time, there were problems. There were issues. But Isaac showed up. And part of the promise is fulfilled through the son. But that's not all of it. Because there was also a promise of a promised land. I'm gonna fulfill this. I'm going to give you your son. And this is going to be the seed. And this is going to be my people. But there's the promised land. And then it took another 400 years for the promise to be fulfilled. And it was fulfilled in our story with the Israelites. The law came into place. And then God brought them into the promised land, a land of their own. I mean, over 400 years, you talk about a road trip, you talk about a journey, and there are many problems along the way. With Moses and the Israelites, where God says, I see my people, I see the oppression, I see the problems, I see what's going on. But you know how long it took for them to actually enter the promised land? 40 years. You read the story, you begin to realize there were many, many problems along the way. Now you can fast forward a little bit in our story. You get to King David, King David's kingdom. And after King David dies, God promises a new king, a new kingdom, and a new covenant. But it took 1,000 years before that promise came to fruition. And guess what? There were problems along the way. But here's the truth. God's promise and God's purpose, it doesn't change just because you and I face problems. What they need to do is they need to teach us and remind us to rely on him, to go to him, remind us that we are his people. That he's a God who saves, that he's a God who provides, that he's a God who guides. Don't lose perspective on God's promise because you're going through life's problems. It's so important. We got to make sure we keep it in perspective and remember who he is and what he's already done. And so we see this covenant promise, and it's playing itself out all throughout the Old Testament, leading all the way up to the New Testament. And after 1,000 years of waiting, guess what? The new king arrived. He showed up. He brought the new covenant. Now, new covenant, new king, same purpose. It was just perfected and fulfilled by Jesus. I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 8. This is verse 10. Here we go again, it's the covenant. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. He says, I will put my law into their minds and write them on their hearts. And here's the big kicker right here. I will be their God and they will be my people. Over 1,000 years later, what God promised to Abraham, what God promised to Moses, what God promised to the Israelites is fulfilled in the new and perfect covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. And you see the same purposes, right? What does Jesus do for us? He gives us salvation. through his death on the cross, through his resurrection and the empty tomb, through his ascension and giving us the Holy Spirit. There's salvation. There's forgiveness from sin and death. There's salvation. But it's not just salvation. There's also provision. Right? We get the word. We get the gospel. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And through the word and through the gospel, through the New Testament, what we see him do, what he calls us to, how he calls us to live, how he shows us to live. There's provision there. And then he gives us guidance. And really, this is key to the promise and to the covenant relationship. Because after Jesus ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to write the law on our hearts and our minds, to guide us through the twists, the turns, the emergency stops, the wrong ways. The Holy Spirit is within us. And so this covenant promise comes in through Jesus, and we gotta remember as we go through the various road trips of life, some will take a little bit longer than we expected. Some will be riddled with never-ending problems. But through it all, we just have to hold on to God's promise to save us, to provide for us, and to guide us every step of the way. Now, for the Israelites, the purpose and the promise was fulfilled. We got to fast forward all the way to Joshua chapter 24. And I want to show you this because it's so important. Verse 17 says, for the Lord our God brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt. He brought us out of the place of slavery. He performed these great signs before our eyes. He also protected us all along the way we went and among all the peoples whose lands we traveled through. Do you see it? He saved, he provided, he guided. The Lord drove out before us all the peoples, including the Amorites who lived in the land, and we will worship him. I love how it ends. We will worship our God because what? He is our God. And we are his people because he saves, because he guides, because he provides. I mean, God did exactly what he said he would do. God did all three of those things. And man, you read the story. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for them. But God was there along the whole journey. And he will be there for you as well, no matter what you go through. He wants to save. He wants to guide. He wants to provide. Would you guys bow your heads? Close your eyes as we close this out. When something tells me each of us are on a road trip right now, or maybe many road trips. Some, man, it's just been awesome. It's been fun. It's been an adventure. And God's doing some really cool stuff. But maybe you're on a road trip today that was unexpected. It was unplanned. Maybe things were going great, but man, somewhere you made a wrong turn. Or there was an accident or a dead end. And in that, in the midst of that problem, whether it's relational, whether it's financial, whether it's geographical or work and purpose related, you kind of have this feeling and you go to God and you say, God, where are you taking me? Why am I going through this? Maybe you feel stuck. Maybe you feel lost. And my hope today is through the word and through the spirit that you would be reminded that God's promise and God's purpose stays the same. He promises to save. He promises to provide. He promises to guide. Don't lose sight of that. You may be hurting. You may be experiencing pain. You may be feeling uncertainty and anxiety, but God is there with you. He is your God. You are his person. He loves you, and he knows what you're going through. He knows what you're dealing with, and he wants to remind you that he can overcome it, that his purpose, that his plan, it will be fulfilled. Don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. He's still on the throne. Jesus is victorious over sin and death. Yeah, we'll face problems, but we have the victor on our side. And so that means whatever dead end, whatever wrong turn, whatever emergency stop, no matter where you find yourself, you're feeling lost, you're feeling stuck, you're feeling like you don't know where to turn, man, give it to him. Remember him. He's with you. He's with you in the journey. His promises and his purpose will be fulfilled. God, right now, I pray for every road trip that we're on, for all the issues, for all the problems, God, I just pray that you would give us wisdom and strength through your Spirit, through your word. Remind us that we have access to all of you. We can pray to you and communicate with you. We can learn about your character and your desire for us to be holy and set apart through your word, and we have your Spirit within us. We can overcome whatever problems may come our way. God, continue to let us give those things over to you. Thank you for your reminder today through your word of your purpose and your promise to save, to provide, to guide us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.